This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
It's Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. It's the number one tennis betting podcast and YouTube show with me, Nigel Seeley, your host, and our senior ATP Tour handicapper, Sean Calvert, brought to you in association with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Sean, how's your day? Let me tell you, before we go about your day, I just want to tell you about mine, if that's all right. I've been having a nice walk along the promenade here in Nice. Got a lovely little Uber up to this beautiful little castle. Had a couple of glasses of vino with the most outrageous view looking over Monaco to the left. Villefranche-sur-Mer on the right. Ferry Saint-Chap or something? You'll know better than me.
I've not been that area, so I don't know, to be honest.
Well, Sean, honestly, the wine was delightful. The beer was cold. The prices weren't too bad. How's your day be?
Do you want me to go into this, or should we just skip straight for the tennis?
Well, I just wanted to just set up to see if you wanted to comment on your day. Anyway,
I've not had a greatest of days. I had to attempt to lift a 73-year-old woman off the floor about 8 o'clock this morning.
That's what drinking does that early.
She doesn't drink. Now, Natasha's mum's not well. She falls over all the time. She fell over again. There's no chance me and Natasha were getting her up. Absolutely no chance. So we had to get the ambulance out for that. That was about 8 o'clock. Then I had to come back and get Lagan ready for his football club and do his packed lunch and all that sort of stuff. And then it was obviously onto the tennis, which wasn't a great day by any means. Now I've got one of Lagan's little friends and Lagan in the house playing Fortnite, causing chaos. I've had to do some food for them. I had to go and get his Switch. So they're playing with two Switches. There's all sorts going on here. And it's half term. It's chaos. And the tennis isn't going very well. Apart from that, I've had a great day.
Yeah, great day. But you're away soon. When's the next trip for you?
Madrid, a couple of weeks.
Oh, there you go. So the nice sunshine's going to be very, very hot over
there.
It
better be warm. That's all I can say.
Yeah, you'll be fine. I mean, the light looks like I've been on a 2 week all inclusive in the south of Spain, but it's not. It's the light here.
Hotel lighting, it's bad. Hotel lighting. This isn't too bad actually. You look all right. Some of the ones I've been doing with it, where they don't have any lights. That one in Indian Wells, there was no lights in the room. There was just lamps. So it looked like I was in some sort of Transylvanian castle or something. Ridiculous, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to sort of talk about the elephant in the room. You touched on it there about the tennis results so far. We're having a bit of a bad run on the start of the clay court season, and obviously, joking aside, you know, I'm out here for the tennis tomorrow, which I'm going to in Monte Carlo, and I'm going there as well a little bit later in the week. But the results haven't been great, and we've spoken about these before. When results don't go your way, a lot of people might have come on new to this podcast. We've been doing this now for 2.5 years. We've had stages in these shows where we can't basically tip trash, you know, and then times we can go on a great run and we can't get it wrong. A lot of people have sort of made comments about some of the tips, and I just said judged by a couple of comments, people are, you know, wanting in desperate to try to get a winning wager, which happens when you bet. And obviously you've got to remember to gamble responsibly and obviously keep your stakes to what you can afford to lose. But just want to go back to that thing, you know, we were so unlucky again today, which we'll come on to the reasoning why. But if you're going for a bad run, how do you deal with those kind of things, which are inevitable when you're doing the amount of bets that we do over a tennis season? How do you deal with it, and what advice you would give to anybody who's doing this run at the moment, thinking, where's the next winner going to come from?
I don't subscribe to this view. I know a lot of people do, but a lot of people, I don't get this, I must have a winner at any price kind of mentality. Loads of people do it. A friend of a friend of mine his betting is insane. He'll be betting at 1 to 50 shots, like with 2 minutes to go in a football match and stuff like that. And then somebody scores and he loses money because he's desperate to get a winner at any price. That doesn't work in the long run. Certainly not for me. You know, when you are betting the bets I bet, which is value players, you have to bet at the value price. They're not always going to win. You can do all the research you like. And ultimately, if a bet is value, then it's a bet. If it's not value, then it's not a bet. There are going to be times, particularly in tournaments like Monte Carlo. I mentioned before about Monte Carlo. It's very, very poor for underdog winners, generally 25, 26, 27% on average. So this tournament, it's not a surprise to me that this tournament is not providing many underdog winners or value winners. Even today, there's been very few. It's all winning favorites, all winning pretty easily. If you want to, if you don't need me to tell you to tell people that, you know, 1-25 shot is probably going to win. That's not what, you know, I'm all about. I just try for the value. If it's there, it's there. If you get a losing run, you know, reduce the stakes. Don't try and chase it. That's the first thing not to do. Definitely don't do that. Ultimately, you have to realize that there are peaks and a lot of peaks and troughs over a very long tennis season. So it's not great when it happens. It's disappointing, frustrating, and annoying, but it is always going to happen. So there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the very important things you said there. You know, you've got to manage your expectations, manage your bank balance, your banks, you know, your betting bank, make sure you gamble responsibly. They're the three key parts that I would always say. And also, okay, we're not having a great run. We're not, you know, we're hitting the form, but we'll come on to the movements today. But we're only 4.65 units down in this podcast, which is nothing really. So just keep the faith, keep them bet small. We're all going to run. We're all going to burner. Statistically, in the clay court season, it's always very hard from the adjustment from hard court into the clay. It's a hard time. So just maybe keep your stakes a little bit smaller than usual. And then obviously when you build up a little bit of bank, go again. But I think it's important that we mention that because, you know, we are on a bit of a bad run. Today, for example, I mean, we took the plus 140 yesterday on Serendulu. I think Bet Rivers went off at plus 1.10. Won the first set. Second set, 5-0 down. Come back to 5-4. Points to make it 5-5. And then fizzles out in the final set. That is the kind of thing that's happening for us at the moment.
Some of the shot choices, again, I mean, I watched pretty much all of that match, and you know, it's a match he should have won. He's gone from 2.4 to 1.37 in play. Totally took his foot off the gas in the second set, then remembered what he was supposed to be doing, and then gave it all away with some absolutely bizarre shot choices, and then a double fault at the end of the second set. And again, he had chances again in the third set, didn't take them. You know, that's how it's been going, and that will happen in tennis. Whoever you are, it's going to happen at some point.
It just feels that way at the moment. Just we haven't got that bit of luck. We're going to get one over the line at a big price. We're going to get a tournament winner coming up very soon. And then, like I say, we'll go on a burner. It happens every season. And my advice to anybody is just be sensible with your wagering. Don't go chasing and just make sure that you gamble responsibly. And we will win together. That's the motto. Anyway, that's yesterday. Yesterday's gone. There's nothing we can do about it. It's always about tomorrow. Looking ahead to the future. And tomorrow we have a full card, a really, really good card. And it's the best card of the day of the tournament so far, obviously, with the last 16. And it's some really great matchups. I'm very fortunate to be on the main court tomorrow for this one. Before I go on to it, how much do you reckon two tickets cost me face value tomorrow on the main court in Monte Carlo? What do you reckon?
You got good seats or sort of mediocre?
Yeah, pretty good seats. Two tickets for me and Paula.
Probably about €300 each.
Yeah, there were €475 without the booking charge. Last week at Estoril, €25 for the day session and the evening session.
Oh, yeah, Estoril's always cheap. You're in Monte Carlo, though. This is why I don't go there. It's one of the reasons I don't go there. It's too expensive, too crowded. Nah, not for me.
Well, it's a busy day, and we'll just kick off with arguably the best match of the day. It's Novak Djokovic, who myself and Sean considered a bit of a fade in the tournament, but he'd rolled back some years with a vintage display against Safin. Not quite sure about Safin's performance, but obviously Novak Djokovic did what he had to do and won very well. He's up against Lorenzo Musetti. He was one of our leans to win the tournament at the start. It's opened up for the top half of the draw with the withdrawal from Carlos Alcaraz. Novak Djokovic is minus 480 to win this match. Musetti is plus 350 with Bet Rivers. The spread here is 4.5, minus 122. For Djokovic, giving up the 4.5, minus 104 for Musetti, who was our pick last week in Estoril, should have done a lot better. 21.5 is the total. Over is even money, and at minus 127. It's a repeat of this exact same match this time last year, and we were on exact same court this time last year while I was watching this match again when Musetti won. He had a huge support that day. Incredible support. You know, it started off with everyone rooting for Djokovic and then very quickly turned for Musetti in the second set and the third set. You knew he was going to win. He was a very heavy favourite for that though, Djokovic. So about minus $7. Musetti was plus 550. And now they're almost half that price. In the head-to-head, it's 3-1 to Djokovic. And you know, the three wins, there was that famous match at the French Open where Musetti led 2-0, and then Djokovic came back and Musetti had to retire in the fifth. But all the other matches on hard courts and have gone in the favour of the Serbian pretty reasonably. But on clay, Musetti's been more than a match and beaten him, probably should have beaten him the two times they played. How do you see this one going? And really, I mean, we both said that we thought Djokovic was a fade for the tournament. Mm-hmm. What do you make of his first round win? And, you know, is that because of Safarin's performance or probably did we underestimate, at our cost, underestimated in the world number one?
Well, it was the best performance he's done on clay for a first match on clay for many, many years. I mean, every single year that for the last sort of, I want to say about 5 or 6 years, maybe more. He's always struggled in his opening match on clay. His opponents haven't generally had to be that good, like Dan Evans, Davidovich Fokina. These guys have beaten him here at this tournament. Vesely's beaten him at this tournament. Safarin had a nightmare. I mean, he couldn't buy a first serve, and then he was just hitting far too many unforced errors. I know his game isn't 100% suited to clay, but neither is Dan Evans, really, and he still managed to beat Djokovic. That wager, that sort of interest was about Djokovic pretty much always being rusty, very, very rusty in his first clay match of the year. And even you would have thought even more so this year after his poor performances earlier on in the year. Well, maybe not poor, but, you know, losing to Luca Nardi, you wouldn't expect that. You know, Australian Open as well wasn't fabulous for him. He certainly struggled at times there. So I would have expected him to be struggling in his first match. Safarin didn't give him, as I say, didn't really give him a test, but Djokovic did look way, way better than any of his opening clay matches in the last numerous years. So that makes it difficult. I mean, going back 12 months when Musetti and Djokovic played in this round last year, Djokovic was quite clearly struggling. Musetti managed to get the better of him that day, priced up around about plus 500. Now he's about, what, plus 350?
Mm.
I'm just wondering if that value is there, because last year Djokovic was certainly struggling. This time around, he doesn't seem to be. Certainly played with a lot more confidence against Safarin than he has in his other openers. Looking at the stats of last year, Musetti won 13% more second serve points against what was, as I said, a rusty Novak Djokovic. As you said, Musetti won the first two sets at the French Open, then completely ran out of gas, didn't he? Had nothing left, ended up retiring in the end. Looking at the last 12 months clay stats at main level, you know, Djokovic's stats are, as you'd expect, pretty good. Service points won and return points won, a total of 111, and a service hold and break total of 117. Musetti, very good as well, not quite as good. 105 on his service points won and return points won total, and his service hold and break total is 112. So, and Djokovic is just 3% better on service points won and on return points won. So not a huge chasm. That's why this price isn't as big as I'd want it to be, really. I want to get involved with Musetti somehow. As I said at the start of the tournament, we couldn't tip him as an outright, could we? Because he was playing on the day that the show was going out, wasn't it? So we didn't have any markets, and so we couldn't really do that. But I'm interested in Musetti. I think plus 1.5 sets is perhaps the way to go if you're having a bet on this match. I think that's around about plus 117. Plus money shot, 2.17 with BetRivers. I feel like Musetti's going to be competitive. The overs is also interesting. I can't see Djokovic winning this in two easy straight sets. So I feel Musetti in some way. I'm just not feeling the value.
I really like the over 21.5 here. It's even money. I'm surprised it's not the favourite. I thought over 21.5 would be the favourite and the under would be the underdog, but it's not. It's the favourite is the under at minus 127. I agree with you. I think Musetti, and the one thing I will say is that, you know, Djokovic is love wherever he goes. The Italian crowd, he will get behind Musetti like you've never seen. And if he keeps it competitive and it goes into a tight second or third set, they'll get him over the line like they did last year. So I think it's a really fascinating watch. You know, everyone's sort of writing off Djokovic's tournament. Everyone's writing him off for the French Open. He's been written off many times in his career before, and he's bounced back and he's shown what his willpower and determination is. And this young kid has got all the talent in the world, but sometimes doesn't deliver. So on the big stage. But I like you. I like the over 21.5 is. So are we going with an official play, or are we just going to go with a lean for those two wagers?
Yeah, it's just a lean because I'm just not sure it's fabulous value. I mean, as I said, he was much bigger in price last year against a Djokovic that was really struggling for form. Now he's a shorter price against a Djokovic that doesn't look like he's struggling as much as he had, anywhere near as much as he has in years gone by. So maybe not just the best of value. Maybe I'm just being greedy, but yeah, lean for me on Musetti plus 1.5 sets all the overs, which those sort of bets that would where I'm going in this particular match.
I think the professional punters out there and the gamblers out there are all of the opinion they want to fade Djokovic. You know, you look at many podcasts, many experts on social media, they're all giving Djokovic a negative here. And this is the line that's been priced up, knowing that Musetti is going to be a popular play with the public, and they're probably trying to keep a little bit of extra juice for them, rather than you take an inflated price. So the market does like Musetti here. He's plus 350. If you haven't got a bet in before the match, there may be a bet in play, and I'll be live on the Because We Win Instagram account tomorrow, courtside for this match. If there's anything that I believe is value after set number one, I'll be posting it live on the Instagram account. Remember, head across the Bet Rivers. 38 different markets available last I looked on this match, and probably more added tomorrow. You will not get a better array of tennis betting markets than Bet Rivers. But remember, it's an early start. 5 a.m. Eastern time, 11 o'clock local time. We do not know the order of play. I can imagine Djokovic Musetti may be third match on court or fourth match on court, but it will be early. So if you are going to have a wager, head across to Bet Rivers. And if you do place a bet with Bet Rivers, you'll be able to bet live and watch live. You'll be able to watch the match from the comfort of your own home on your tablet, whichever device you want to watch it on. Okay, next match is an all-Aussie affair. Alex de Minaur against Alexei Popperin. One thing I will say, Sean, before we go into it, the weather looks really fair tomorrow, doesn't it? Another important factor. We did have a threat of rain today. It didn't materialise, but now for the rest of the tour, it's going to be hot. Does that have an effect on anything, any way of thinking for your stuff this for tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, it should play a little bit quick. It's still only going to be about 19 or 20 degrees. Not massively hot, but I would suggest it would play slightly quicker potentially than in the last couple of days. Yeah, not massively. It's still relatively slow conditions. If we get quite a lot of sun in that 20 degrees, then obviously it would make it slightly quicker maybe during the day. The evening matches are still going to be pretty slow.
It might have no effect on the conditions. My face will be as red as the clay, I can assure you that. If 21 degrees is me in trouble. Sean, honestly.
Factor 50 and in 20 degrees, you'd be fine, wouldn't you? Factor 30?
50. I'm a 50 man. 50 man on my head, 30 on my face, 25 on any part of my body. But I've got to cover up. And so we'll see tomorrow. You'll see tomorrow. I'll put some pictures up. I'll be as red as you won't believe. The clay in the Monaco will not look as red as my face, I can assure you. 20 degrees. Okay, let's move on to this all Aussie affair. Alex de Minaur up against Alexei Popperin. Both players are playing very well at the moment. Alex de Minaur just outside the top 10 in the world, in 11th, and Alexei Popperin is rolling back the years with some really good displays. He's won the last two matches against Mute, and he knocked out the defending champion Rublev earlier on today. Wawrinka and Griekspoor de Minaur has got past to reach his stage. I always like to fade players, though, when they have a big win. And Alexei Popperin has just beaten the defending champion. If you look at the money line, no surprise, de Minaur is the favourite, minus 350. Alexei Popperin is plus 250. The spread is 3.5, minus 3.5 for de Minaur is minus 137. Popperin plus 3.5 is even money. And the total here is 21.5 with over minus 125, under minus 110. They've met twice before, never on clay, both easy wins for each player. In Brisbane, back in 2019, de Minaur won 6-2, 6-2. And in the Paris Masters, Popperin gained revenge with a 6-love, 6-3 win over his countrymen. I like to fade players after a big win. Popperin just had his biggest ever performance on clay with the win over Rublev. Probably Rublev didn't play well at all, though, but Do you go with that theory, or do you think Popperin is giving up some good numbers on the slower stuff?
Usually I respect the theory, yeah, but these prices, I can't be having this de Minaur at 1-3 to win this match. It's outrageous. On a slow clay court against an opponent who's in peak form and has better clay data, we've got de Minaur at 1-3. I mean, de Minaur talked the other day about the fact that the slow conditions here don't suit him. You know, we know that. He didn't really need to say that, but he mentioned it anyway. And in general, his clay stats don't warrant him being anywhere near this short, really. Look at the last 12 months on this surface at main level. De Minaur, just a 50% win rate and a service points won and return points won total of 102. Popperin, 69% win rate and a total of 103. So if you're just going on those bare stats, you can't have De Minaur at 1-3. Popperin's winning more second serve points in that time frame on this surface as well, 54% compared to 51%. And he's held serve 87% of the time on the clay in the last 12 months at main level, which is outstanding. I feel like the I've mentioned this a few times about Popyrin. The clay just is, with it being slow, it just doesn't expose his questionable movement as much as the quicker surfaces do. Like grass, he's never got to grips with grass at all. Too quick and too low bouncing for him. But the clay stats, they definitely suggest that he's a very good value here to beat Dimonor, who is very hit and miss on this surface. Dimonor is actually trying to win three straight matches at a main level clay court tournament for only the second time in his career. The only other time he's won three matches at a main level clay court tournament was in Barcelona in 2022. And one of those was a retirement. So there's nothing in the clay. These odds for me are just based on general form and general ability. They're not clay specific. And if you're looking at clay specific odds, then Popyrin is value here. Absolutely.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to play him on the money line, or are we going to take him on the spread? What's the best angle?
It's like, well, I haven't seen the complete odds for this. I think he's going to be around about 3.3-ish, Popyrin, as far as I can gather.
On the money line, he's plus 250. So, yeah, around plus 230, sorry. Plus 3, yeah, you're correct.
Around about 3.3 plus 230. Yeah, either take that or the plus games. You know, the guy's held 87% of the time in the last 12 months. I'm not keen on handicaps on the clay often. It can go badly wrong. I would just take Popyrin. I think I'm going to take Popyrin here. Just on these clay odds, I think that's the value of the day, in all honesty.
Plus 230. Dimonor trying to win only three matches in a competitive tournament on clay for the second time in his long career. Next match, the man that everyone wants to see over here now, Jannik Sinner, the Australian Open champion, going to have a huge support with the Italian fans. He's on this unbelievable run, 19 wins this year and only one defeat, which was against Carlos Alcaraz in Indian Wells. He won in Miami. He's won three tournaments in Miami, won in the Australian Open. Where was the other tournament? He won another tournament. I can't remember. It'll come to me in a second. And he's up against Jan-Lennard Struff, the German. And Jan-Lennard Struff got to the quarterfinals here last year. And he also reached the final in Madrid on clay. But look at the odds here. You're talking about clay odds and overreactions. Jannik Sinner, obviously, we're expecting a burnout at some stage. He's minus 1,400 to win this match. Jan-Lennard Struff is plus 650. The spread is 4.5, and Sinner is a big favourite, minus $2, 4.5. You might even want to go up to 5.5 with Bet Rivers. Struff is plus 150, receiving 4.5. And the total here, a very heavy favourite for the under, and minus 162 at 20.5. I mean, I'm sure that your database and I'm sure that your stats on clay will make this another one that's a not closer game than the odds suggest here. The last time they did meet was in Indian Wells this year, and Sinner did win it 6-3, 6-4. But Struff has got some points to defend. He was a quarterfinalist and he's heading into Madrid. We got the final last year.
Yeah, his numbers here are actually very, very good. Struff's record in Monte Carlo in terms of his service points, one and return points, one total, he's gone 105, and his hold and break total is 106. So very, very respectable numbers. Problem is, Sinner's are one of them's quite a lot better. His service points, one and return points, one total is 107, and his service hold and break total is a big 117. But there's encouragement for Struff backers on those Monte Carlo stats. They're very good. You know, you would perhaps not have expected that on a slow, very slow clay court. In a Madrid, you know, you could sort of see it, but it's slightly unusual that he's doing quite so well in Monte Carlo. The last 12 months, clay stats at main level, all tournaments, Struff's still got a very good record, 71% win rate, which is only 4% behind Sinner's 75%. His service points, one and return points, one total is 102. Sinner's on 110. And his service hold and break total is 106. Sinner's on 118. So you can understand why Sinner is a heavy favourite, but I think, you know, the odds are going a bit crazy on him now, aren't they? It's difficult for me to understand why he's quite so short. I was expecting Korda to do something against him today, but Korda came out and did one of those quarter things where he dropped his serve and then kind of lost interest. His forehand was all leaky and he didn't fancy it after a while. But Struff's got a very good record against top 10 opponents, of not necessarily winning the matches, but at least testing them. He's played a tiebreak in 7 of his last 9 matches against top 10 opponents, and he's won at least a set in 5 of his last 9 matches against top 10 opponents. For me, this is all about how Struff serves. You know, he was set and 5-2 down, I think, to Baez in his first match, because his serve completely deserted him. Baez was 100-1 on. Struff managed to turn it around. He managed to find his serve and eventually overpower Baez, who I must admit did choke that one a little bit. So a little bit fortunate to be here, Struff, in a sense. But if he finds his serve, and he looks to me like he's getting that confidence back that he had 12 months ago, he might be able to press Sinner into the overs, because these short prices on Sinner, they're giving us better lines on things like the overs, aren't they? I'm interested in tie break play here. I haven't seen the lines yet because it's not come out, but anything around about sort of 6-4 or maybe bigger on tie break play would be of interest, bearing in mind how often Struff does tend to press these top guys very often, or set one overs. Those are the two markets that would interest me here, but I haven't seen the line, so it's difficult to call it.
Yeah, so we're going to go for Struff to make it competitive. Head across to the BetRivers website to tie break in the match. We're expecting to be around about +150. And if it is around that kind of price, that is the kind of price that we are very much interested in. Now, the final match really does interest me, because I think this offers the best bet of the day. Now, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I think this offers the best bet of the day. It's Stefanos Tsitsipas against Alexander Zverev. And it's both -110. The two players are... You can't split them. -110. Bet Rivers are saying, it's up to you, Mr. Calvert, Mr. Seeley. Who do you think will win? Because we don't know. If you look at the head-to-head between the two, it's overwhelmingly in favour of Tsitsipas. 9-5 in his favour on clay. They've played five times. Tsitsipas has won four of those five occasions. He played him in Monte Carlo in 2022. He won 6-4, 6-2. I've watched a lot of Tsitsipas this week, and I tell you what, the boy looks back to me. I thought he was exceptional today against Echeverry. I thought he was absolutely brilliant against Laszlo Jerry before Jerry retired. And I think if you've got a rebase on one player this week, and that player is Tsitsipas. I've already looked, Sean, at him to win the French Open. Some books are 33-1. Now, this French Open is going to be wide open. Alcaraz obviously got an injury. We're not convinced about Djokovic. Nadal is 4-1 in the book. Currently with Bet Rivers, you can get 25-1 Stefanos Tsitsipas. I think that would I'll be heading to bet that at 25-1, because you've got Holger Rune at 8-1. Zverev is 14-1. If he beats Zverev here and makes a statement, I think this is now you could be saying, Nigel, what a load of rubbish. I've totally disagree with everything you've just said, because I don't know where you go on this game. But I think Tsitsipas has looked absolutely brilliant this week in a place he loves.
Yeah, it's Zverev for me.
Are you serious?
No.
I didn't know you.
I just thought I'd put that in and see what you did.
Very good. I didn't know if you'd be serious. But I don't you think 25-1 is a big price at the French Open?
Now, I hadn't thought about it until this second when you mentioned it. But I was hoping that he was going to be plus money for this game, this match against Zverev, Tsitsipas for sure. I said at the start of the tournament, you know, he's one of the ones that, well, he's a one that could be good value in the bottom half of the draw. It's just that the odds weren't great, were they? I think 16-1 when we talked about it on Sunday, which I didn't feel was big enough. But, you know, no surprise that his form has returned, his kind of zest has returned, if you like, coming to a tournament that he's got such a great record in, you know, a couple of times champion here. You know, the head-to-head on clay is quite overwhelming. Not staggeringly overwhelming, but substantially overwhelming. 4-1, as you said, to Tsitsipas on the clay. Service points winner in return points won a total of 104 for Tsitsipas, 96 for Zverev. And even on the clay, Tsitsipas has held serve 87% of the time against Zverev. And he's also won 10% more of the points on second serve. So it's been a matchup that Zverev has really struggled with, generally, as it happens, but certainly on the clay. I watched pretty much all of that Echeverry match. I mean, Echeverry was not good at all, it has to be said. Tsitsipas donated his serve, didn't he, in the first game of the match. I don't think Echeverry won a game after that, did he?
Yeah, but I don't think he was out. I know he played badly, but I think the level of Tsitsipas was, you know, his shot making was better than what
it was for this
season by far.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it was. It was great. I'm just making the point that Echeverry was poor. Yeah. He's certainly going to get a much more stern opposition in Zverev than he got in Echeverry. Again, if you look at the Monte Carlo records, Zverev's is decent, 67% win rate. Service points won and return points won total of 105 and a service hold and break total of 111. So very respectable stats, but Tsitsipas is not even including today. So these will rise after that heavy win over Echeverry. he's on 110 and 116 in those numbers. So it all kind of points to Tsitsipas. You know, he's much more effective on the clay than any other surface these days. You know, the slower, the better for him. His backhand can very much be rushed on the quicker surfaces. People have figured that out now for quite some time. On the clay, he has that little bit of extra time. He can use his variety of spins, his variety of heights and depths. Plus, he's coming into the net a lot more now as well than he was before Tsitsipas. So if he keeps up the level that he's shown against in the matches against Echeverry and Jere, then you would give him an outstanding chance of beating Zverev, yeah, for sure.
So are we going to have an official pick on this one at -110, or are we going to hopefully get a little bit of a better price? You're not really happy with the price, you want plus money?
Yeah, I want plus money on it, really. Again, maybe I'm perhaps being greedy. I think Popperin's more value at the prices, but my bet here, if I was betting in this match, would definitely be Tsitsipas. Yeah, maybe just wait for a little bit of plus money. But I feel like Tsitsipas has got a very good chance of not only winning this match, but going deep in this tournament again.
I think he's the takeout. I really do. And I think the French Open, 25-1 now with BetRivers. I strongly believe by the time the tournament comes, it'll be closer to half that, 14-12-1. There's doubts around Alcaraz. Sinner will surely hit a brick wall at some stage in a major. Nadal, 5-1. How can we bet Nadal
you
at 5-1?
You would want at least probably 50-1 on Nadal, yeah, wouldn't you?
Holgerun, that single figures, Tsitsipas, former finalist at Roland Garros, 25-1. That'll do for me. Coming back, you know.
It's certainly value. Compared to what you've just said, if Zverev is what, 12, 14?
Yeah, half the price of Tsitsipas, yeah.
Yeah, on the clay statistics, you would certainly be looking at Tsitsipas if you were having a bet in that market at the minute. Yeah, Nadal doesn't seem likely at all, does it? Alcaraz, we don't know what's happening with him. Sinner, as you've said, at some point, it feels like he'll have a letdown. It depends how well he manages his schedule. He might only play Madrid and Rome, and that'll be that. We'll sort of see what happens with him, but he's obviously a very, very short price. Rune is an outrageously short price. So, yeah.
Medvedev is 18-1 with BetRivers, which is the top, you know, same price as Tsitsipas. I mean, 33-1, 25-1 Medvedev, 25-1 Tsitsipas, the same price.
You know, yeah, out of that lot, you would see Tsitsipas as the value, yeah, based on the odds, okay, that you just quoted, yeah.
Well, I'm getting rather excited, rather ahead of myself with talk of the French Open. That's for later on in the year with the majors coming up. We've got you covered on that. But for the remainder of the week, I'll be here in Monte Carlo. I'll be giving you all the bets in play on all these matches on the Instagram account. Make sure you follow that app, Because We Win on Instagram, and our socials on Twitter at Because We Win as well. Give us a subscribe on our YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios. Make sure you follow that. There'll be lots of great content coming your way. The Premier League returns this weekend, and the Champions League. Yesterday we had two epic quarterfinals. We're doing the return legs. That'll be live on Monday as well. As well as that, you can download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. Please keep those podcast downloads coming. And if you've got any questions, obviously, like I say, we addressed the situation about losing bets at the beginning of the show. We spoke about how you should manage your bank balance. It's always very important to gamble responsibly. And if you've got any questions or any advice on what you should do going forward for the rest of the year, please put it on the comments section below. And myself or Sean or one of the team here at Because We Win, we'll answer any questions you have. Sean, I'll get back to the kids. Hopefully you can have a nice hopefully things change through the weekend. Hopefully we can get on a bit of a winning run as well. That's it for this week. We'll be back on Monday. Where are we heading Monday? Barcelona, is it? Barcelona?
And Bucharest and somewhere else, which I've forgotten for the moment.
All the bees.
Where is it? Oh, Munich. Yeah, Munich. Oh,
yeah, Munich. And we'll be back previewing all three of those matches in a bumper game bet match on Sunday evening. Sean, thanks always for your time this week. With everything. Good luck for everyone. And members, head across the Bet Rivers. Early start tomorrow at 5 a.m. for the last 16 matches. Placing the quarterfinals are up for grabs at the Monte Carlo Masters.